Our meditation today is in Psalm 141. Please turn there in your New King James Bibles. Psalm 141.
Psalm 141, a psalm of David. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness, and let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil, let not my head refuse it. For my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I escape safely. Amen. We have this here titled in our New King James Version, Prayer for Safekeeping from Wickedness. And there's a couple different... Well, there's three different aspects of it that are brought out in this psalm. It begins as a prayer, of course. Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. We have the psalmist here seeing himself in dire straits and needing help from the Lord of his salvation. And the first word here is Yahweh, again, Jehovah, the covenant name of God, not the generic Elohim, the more generic Elohim or Adonai, meaning Lord, but Jehovah. I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Now we see a couple things. First, again, it's the covenant Lord that's mentioned here. It's the idea that he's being called in the covenant. The second line, make haste to me. It seems fairly straightforward, and of course that's what he would say. But the idea here is that God comes to those who need him. You hear so much advice, get closer to God, move to God, do this for God. So much in modern church is taught it's our effort to get closer to God that's going to bring us blessing. Here's somebody who's in deep need, crying out. All he can do is cry out, calling for God to come to him and bring him aid. Beginning by, give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, those last two lines in verse 2 here, the entire of verse 2 here, is important for us in understanding the Old Testament and how it relates to the New. You've heard us say very many times over the years, if you've been listening to our sermons, that you can't understand the Old Testament fully without knowing the New. And there's no way you can understand the New Testament without understanding the Old. When we talk about the Mosaic Covenant and the system of sacrifices, incense, all the different rituals, the accoutrements, the little things that are tied up into the need for the law in the Old Testament. Too often, again, the modern church sees this as something apart from what we do today. That it has nothing to do with us. That was the old Jewish stuff. That's what Israel did, not the church. But this verse 2 is a key for us to understand that all of the things in the Old Testament economy that we see, all of the temple things, correspond to spiritual realities that maintain today. Here David is just telling us that the incense that was burned was a symbol of the prayer that comes from the Christian. That the evening sacrifice, that was the evening sacrifice. We're not talking about the sacrifices for the remission of sin or the penalty of sin. But the evening sacrifice was a symbol of the night prayer of the Christian as we lift up our hands calling to God to come to us in reliance to him to bear us up, to get us through the night alive and safely. All of the things in the Old Testament, and if you listen to the, if you read through it with an open mind and look at the New, you'll see how all those things relate and how scriptural worship today is important to be done right as commanded by God because they do reference those things. And these are given by God and commanded by God for us. That's a slight, actually it's not a tangent, but we could develop that whole theme throughout the entire psalm as well. But the first part of the psalm, crying out for God to come to him when he finds himself in dire straits, that the prayers and the lifting up of hands be seen as a temple sacrifice. The next two verses talk, well, this should make you think of Psalm 1. Set a guard, O Jehovah, over my mouth and keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. The psalm, as we look at it, is prayer for safekeeping from wickedness. And this is one of the ways that wickedness can attack the Christian, is through temptation to do wickedness ourselves, to make us think that the things of the world are better than they are desirable, to give in to the inclination to think evil, to be wicked, to speak, badly. We have to watch those things, but not just watch them in our own strength. Again, the teaching here is that we ask for God for help in resisting temptation, to give us strength. Verse 5 here, or at least most of verse 5, is an aside. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me, and it shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. A couple ways of looking at this. The common one is, let the righteous strike me, rebuke me, turn me away from evil. Pray for harshness, even if that's what it takes from our brothers and sisters who love us. When we find ourselves in sin, we should accept gladly when we're told, no matter how hard, to turn away from that sin, even if it reaches the point of being struck to get our attention. It's a kindness. Conversely, people, if you see someone in sin, it is not a kindness to let them alone in it. It is love to rebuke those of your brothers and sisters who are in sin, who won't face it, who don't know it or know it but won't admit it even to themselves. To tell them is a kindness. Verse 6 and 7, their judges are overthrown, speaking of the wicked again, by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. I want you guys to hold on to that line for a moment. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. Yet thought here, the picture that's being put is one of battle, where the leaders of one side are fallen and the other side, some members of it, their bones are scattered and broken up as when one plows the earth. There's a battle here on earth between the righteous and the wicked, and that's what's being taught here. Now, the psalmist says our bones are scattered, but the psalmist is still writing. Obviously, his bones aren't scattered. But the idea here is the identification with all of those God's people. Because the psalmist here, it shouldn't be any surprise, is Jesus Christ, not just David or any other Christian speaking. But he identifies the church as his body. And so indeed it is our bones that are scattered as the wicked fight against God's people. Verses 8, 9, and 10 then. But my eyes are upon you, O Jehovah, the God, or the Lord. It is Jehovah the Lord, the one who rules the heavens and the earth. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. We know that Jesus had many traps set before him, and we do too, where people try to make us fall. He has told us that they'll hate us for his sake, and the same traps will be set for us. Now, this isn't just saying, God, protect us from failing so that we are damaged. The idea also is remembering that we're in a war with wickedness, and we're asking for safekeeping from wickedness for our sake and the sake of the church. When they set traps for Jesus in his lifetime, it wasn't just to defeat him. It was to discredit his teaching. It was to defeat the gospel. It was to protect their own false teaching of what the Bible said. And the same thing will be done today for us. And let it never be that our sin or our foolishness will give the enemies of God reason to blaspheme or to mock the gospel or to talk down the body of Christ because of our own failings. And the last verse, let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. We saw that happen many times in Jesus' life. It happened in his death and his resurrection when Satan thought he had won, but by his own acts sealed his own fate. The same happens today. And as we behave righteously, as we look at the first part of this psalm and pray to God to protect us from temptation, to save us from our own sin, give us strength to do what is right, then We'll see the wicked try to discredit the gospel through us, but be exposed as fools themselves, be caught in their own trap, and to show the gospel as the truth, the light, the way. Let us sing this as a prayer, remembering that Jesus had been there before us. But as His children, we are called to follow in His steps and use Him as our example and to be happy to be used as tools of His. We'll sing Psalm 141 and we'll sing Part B.